I'm grateful for having the opportunity once again to come and share with you my faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure I don't mess up this afternoon, so let me start off with ABCs before I start. A, although things may not be perfect. B, because of trial and pain. C, always continue in thanksgiving. D, don't ever begin to blame. E, even though times are tough. F, fierce winds are going to blow. G, God is forever able. H, hold on to what you know. I, imagine life without God's love. J, joy will never be. K, keep thanking God for all things. L, that love imparts to thee. M, move out of the camp of complaining. N, no weapon that is known. O, on earth can yield the power. P, that praise can do alone. Q, quit worrying about tomorrow. R, redeem the time at hand. S, start every day with thanksgiving. T, to thank God is a command. U, until you see God coming, V, victorious in the sky. W, we must run this race with patience. X, exalting God on high. Y, yes, there are going to be good days, there are going to be bad. But remember this, Stony Brook, Stony Island. Z, Zion awaits where none I ever sat. I want you to go with me now, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, this morning we talked about and we tried to show that God had one plan to save man. Now, what I do realize, we're living in a time, and I want to make sure I equip the saints, those who are here this afternoon, help us understand that we're living in a time where men have devised alternate plans in order for man to be saved. We got to understand that it does not matter what man come up with, that God's plan is not going to change. It was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, God's purpose was to gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus. That was the plan of God. That was God's plan, to get all of us together in one. Now, and what I want to do this afternoon, I'm going to preach as long as your patience will allow me. So if you start looking like you're tired, I'm going to let you go. I just want to deal with a couple of things. I'm going to deal with a couple of things that are being taught in the field of religion. But what we want to do is see whether or not that is a plan, is a part of the plan of God. And I think if we do this, we'll be well served this afternoon. Well, the first thing I want to do is show you in regards to what man teaches in regards to the sinner's prayer. Man believes in the sinner's prayer. But I want you to understand that the sinner's prayer is not part of the plan of God. Well, the first thing I want you to understand, because the sinner's prayer, number one, you can't find it in the Bible. It's a subject that is foreign to the Bible. Because why? Because, first of all, we look at the Bible. In John chapter 9, in John chapter 9 and verse number 1, in John chapter 9 and verse number 1, a very familiar passage where the Bible says, Jesus and his disciples, they encountered a young man that was born blind. Jesus, the messianic master, he was so awesome. Jesus never went to medical school. Jesus just spit on the ground, stirred up the spittle, put it on the boy's eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and the boy came back seeing. Well, when this had happened, it was a great and notable miracle that had happened. Well, the word got to the Pharisees in regards to what Jesus had done. And so, therefore, the Pharisees, they went and they questioned the boy's parents. And they wanted to find out in regards to what had transpired and was it true. So when they went to the parents, after a while, the parents were fearful that the Pharisees would kick them out of the synagogue. And so the parents said, the boy is of age. You all go talk to him yourself. Well, when they went to talk to the young man, he said, he made this statement. They said about Jesus. They were telling the young man about Jesus. Then they made the mistake. They said he was a sinner. And the young man said, well, you can call him whatever you want to. But one thing I know, I once was blind, but now I see. And then the young man said in verse number 31, he said, for we know that God heareth not sinners. For we know that God heareth not sinners. But if a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hear it. Now here's the question. How did this young man know? How did he know that God will not hear a sinner? How would he know? How did he know that God would not hear a sinner? Well, let me just, I'm coming close. I'm just about through. Don't believe that, but it just sounds good. Listen, let me help you understand the Bible quickly. To understand the Bible, you have to know, there's a thing that we call Bible hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is nothing more than, it is the way in which we interpret, we understand God's word. Now, simple hermeneutics is simply this. To understand God's word, number one, you got to know who's talking. Number two, who are they talking to? Number three, what are they talking about? And then number four, under what dispensation are they talking under? If you can understand those four things, it's going to help you to understand the Bible. Now, this young man says, for we know who's talking. This young Jewish boy who was born blind, but now he can see, he said, for we know. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Pharisees. He said, we know that God does not hear a sinner. Well, how did they know? How did this young man know? Because now he's talking to fellow Jews. How did the Jews know that God would not hear a sinner? Well, the reason they knew, because they knew what was taught in the Old Testament. Let's go to the Old Testament. I need Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. Then I need Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 9. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 15. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse number 2. And then we're going to cross over to the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12. All right, first of all, let's see, how did the Jews know? How did they know that God will not hear a sinner? Well, Proverbs 15, verse 29, the Bible says,
the Lord is far from the wicked.
Listen, the Bible says, y'all talk about this in y'all Sunday school, y'all talk about the righteous and the wicked. Listen, when the Bible says wicked, it's not talking necessarily about the murderers, the child, all the folk that Brother Kevin got to run down and take the jail. A wicked person is anybody who's not in a right relationship with God. The wicked person. So the Bible says, read that again, Elder Burnside. Proverbs 15, 29. Listen to what he says. The Lord is far from the wicked.
But he hears the prayer.
But God only hears the prayer of those who are righteous. You got to be in right standing with God. All right? Let's look at the Bible. Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. And Proverbs 28 and verse number 9. Let's watch what the Bible says. Now we just read, God is far from the wicked. And then the Bible says, now, Proverbs 28 and verse number 9, listen to, no need for a sinner to pray. He that turns away his ear
from hearing God's law, even his prayer should be an
abomination. There's no need to pray, because the Bible says even your prayer is an abomination. So there's no need to pray. There's no need for a sinner to pray when the Bible says his prayer will come up before God as an abomination. All right? Let's look at Isaiah 1:15. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse number 2. Well, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse number 2, the Bible said,
Behold,
the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. God's ear is not heavy that God cannot hear. You see, in other words, Isaiah's saying, there's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God. But here's the problem. Your iniquity have separated between you and your God,
and your sins
have hid his face from you. Come on. You see, the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say God can't hear. The Bible says God will not hear. That's a choice. God chooses not to hear anybody, my friend, that is not in a right standing, a right relationship with him. Now, when will God hear? When will God hear? Well, Isaiah 1:15, I'll shorten that. Isaiah 1, look at 1:18. He says that we need to be washed. And he said, come now, let us reason together. And God said, you need to be washed. You need to be washed. That's when God will hear. Once we are washed, our sins must be washed away. Now, when will God hear? Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 12, when will God hear? Now, remember now, we're talking about the wicked. We're talking about the righteous. God, he's far from the wicked. Those who are not right with God, those whose sins and iniquity have separated between them and their God, God is far from them. But who is God close to? Who did God hear? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them You see, the Bible says, who does God listen to? Those who are in a right standing with him. And another thing, there is no need. Why in the world would a sinner want to pray to God in the first place? You can't pray to God unless, first of all, you're born into the family. Now, you know something be wrong. I told you my three kids had a conversation with me before they were born. Now, you know, you say, well, something wrong. His driveway don't go all the way to the street. You know something has to be wrong with me. Because you understand clearly that a baby can't ask for anything in the womb. We have to be birthed forth into the family of God. That's what Jesus was teaching John 3 and verse number 5. You got to be born again. And let me just say this. My friend, there is not one thing. I work with my Bible. There is not one thing that a sinner can pray for that God has not already provided him. You and I cannot think of one thing that the sinner can pray for, can ask God for, that he does not already have. So what is he praying for? Why do you tell him to pray? Well, let's look at that. He can't pray for faith, because Romans 10:17, the Bible says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He can't pray for God to love him. God already loves him. John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He can't pray for grace. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we ought to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. He can't pray for mercy. Isaiah 55 and verse number 7. If the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, I will abundantly pardon and have mercy. What is he going to pray for? You can't pray for the Holy Ghost. Though the Bible says, Acts chapter 5, verse number 32, that God will hear those and give the Holy Spirit to all them that obey him. What is he going to pray for? Maybe he needs some power, Brother Pounds. You don't need to pray for no power. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Maybe you need to pray for some strength. All of us need strength. You don't need to pray for no strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. My friend, there is not one thing that a sinner can pray for that God has not already provided him. Well, what about salvation? You don't need to pray for salvation. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized, Mark 16:16, shall be saved. You see, rather than telling somebody to pray, what they ought to be taught is to obey. Because once you obey, then you can pray. So the sinner's prayer, number one, is not a part of the plan. Y'all all right? All right. Well, make sure I'm checking with y'all. Make sure y'all all right. So I can keep going. I'll go a little further than this. Y'all all right? Well, and another thing. We do not follow the law of Moses. That's number two. You got folks today thinking that we ought to follow the Ten Commandments. But we do not follow the Ten Commandments today. People don't understand. The Ten Commandments, well, let's go to the Bible. I could tell you, but let's go to the Bible. John 1:17. John chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I want to show you before and after this, and this is my second to my last point, so I think of something else. That you got to understand this, that the law served its purpose. What was the purpose of the law? All right? The Bible says Galatians chapter 3. This is where I'm going to go. I'll tell you where I'm going. So I'm going to Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Then I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 14. Then I'm going to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 7, verse number 4. Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. Then I'm going to cross over to the Old Testament, Exodus 32:25. Then we're going to conclude at Acts 2:41. I know you got it, Brother Elder Burns. So I'm not even worried about it. I know you got it. I just know you got it. I don't even worry about it. I know you got it. All right. If you didn't write it down, that's all right. It's downloaded. I got it. It's in my brain. It's already in my brain. Now, what was the purpose of the law? Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24. What was the purpose of the law? Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster. That's the purpose of the law. The job of the law was to bring us to Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of the law. All right. Now, what happened to the law? Colossians. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer. Y'all see the Bible says? We are no longer. If the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, the Bible said we're no longer under the schoolmaster. That means we're no longer under the law. All right, what happened to the law? Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible said. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2, 14. Yeah, the other Colossians 2 and verse number 14. Yes, sir. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, contrary to us, he took it out of the way. And what did he do? And he nailed it to the cross. That's what he did with the Ten Commandments. He nailed them to the cross. And I know that's right. Let's go to Ephesians 2:14. We looked at Colossians 2:14. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says.
For he is our peace.
Christ is our peace.
Who hath made both one.
Made both Jew and Gentile one. Come on. Watch it. He broke down the middle wall of partition that was between us. Come on.
Having
abolished in his flesh the enmity. Watch it. Even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, he took it out of the way to make in himself of twain
one new man.
One new man in. That's how he made peace. He got us together. What? In Christ Jesus. The purpose of the law is to bring us to Christ that we might be one. We might be unified in Jesus Christ. Now, I know we're not under the law because, listen, Paul tells us specifically we're not under the law. Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7. Go with me. Romans chapter 6. Let's start at verse 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Watch the Bible. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says.
For sin
shall not have dominion, over you. Elder verse, that's all I need. The Bible says you are not under the law. Go to chapter 7, verse 4. Go to chapter 7, verse number 4. Well, listen to the Bible. Number one, we're not under it.
All right? Wherefore, my brethren.
Chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren?
Ye are also become dead to the law.
That's all I need, sir. We are not under the law. We are dead to the law. Look at verse number 6. Chapter 7, verse number 6. The Bible says what?
But now.
That's all I need, sir. We are not under the law. We're dead to the law. We have been delivered from the law. Look at chapter 10, verse number 4. Chapter 10, verse number 4. Watch what the Bible says. Chapter 10, verse 4.
For Christ is the end of the law.
That's all I need, elder. The Bible says, listen, we're not under the law. The Bible says we have been delivered from the law. We are dead to the law. Why? Because Christ is the end of the law. And I don't know why in the world would somebody want to go back to the Old Testament and get that old law when what we have is so much better. Let me just show you how much better. I'm not gonna stretch your Christianity and your patience this afternoon, but let me just show you just how much better. How much better. Go to Exodus 32:25. Go to Exodus 32 and verse number 25. Exodus 32. Yes, sir. Exodus 32. We're looking at Exodus this morning, but I want you to see this. Exodus 32 and verse number 25. Now I want you to watch this now. When the Mosaic dispensation was coming into fruition, Moses was coming off of booming and shaking Mount Sinai. He had the two tablets with him that were written by the finger of God. He comes off of booming and shaking Mount Sinai, and then he sees Israel. And the Bible says, go to read, sir.
And when Moses saw that the people were naked,
he saw the people were naked, and Aaron had made them naked
unto their shame.
Among their enemies, come on, sir.
Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp.
Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and Moses said,
"Who is on the Lord's side?
Who's on the Lord's side here?
Let him come unto me.
Let him come to me.
And all the sons of Levi
gather themselves together
unto
him. Come on.
And he said unto them,
Thus said the Lord of Israel,
sword
so by his side,
and go in and out,
from gate to gate,
throughout the camp.
Slay every man his brother,
every man his companion,
every man his neighbor,
and the children of Levi.
They did what Moses said. Come on. And watch this. When Moses' law came into effect, that day there fell among the people.
That day about 3,000 men.
Listen. On that day, the very day when the law of Moses came into effect, the Bible says about 3,000 died. When the law of Moses came into effect, about 3,000 died. I want to know what happened when the law of Christ came into effect. What happened when the law of Christ came into effect on that day, the same day? Acts 2 and verse 41. Because when Moses' law came, about 3,000 died. Let's see what happened when Christ's law came. Acts chapter 2 at verse number 41. Acts 2 and verse number 41. Watch what the Bible says. Yes. They that gladly received the word, they were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000. When Moses' law came, about 3,000 died. But when Christ's law came, about 3,000 were saved. We have a better law than what they had back then. Now let me just give you one more and we'll be done. We'll be done. This business about calling on the name of the Lord. I hear people talk about the fact that in order to be saved, all they have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And I heard the preacher say that in the Church of Christ, we don't believe that. We don't believe the scripture. When the Bible says calling upon the name of the Lord, I don't know what he was talking about, because yes, we do believe that too. We believe that. Yes, we do. Well, let's look at the Bible. See, the problem is, in denominational churches, they have a bad case of misunderstanding. They don't understand what that means. What does that mean, calling on the name of the Lord? What is that? Ooh, I'm so glad y'all asked me this afternoon. I'm just happy that you let chicken making y'all sleepy. I'm glad y'all asked me that. So I get to explain that for the next few minutes before I let you go. This is my last point. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Now, you hear people say, only thing you have to do to be saved. Well, let's look at the Bible. Let's go to the Bible. Go to Joel. Joel chapter 2. And then we're going to look at verse number 32. We'll wait for you. Go to verse. We'll wait for you. Joel chapter 2 and verse number 32. And then after we leave there, we're going to go to the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 21. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. And I want you to see this because it's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, we believe what's in the Bible. Yeah. As long as it's rightly divided in the Church of Christ, we believe. We believe what's in the Bible. All right? But the thing about it, you got to make sure you understand what it is that you're reading. Now, in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 32, what does the Bible say? Now, watch this now. It shall come to pass
that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord.
That, watch this now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
You see, they shall be delivered. Whosoever, doesn't matter who it is, it shall come to pass. There's coming a time when whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be delivered. Now, look. Let's go to the New Testament. Go to Acts chapter 2. Because on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:21. On the day of Pentecost, what Peter does, he repeats what Joel said. Now, Joel said there's going to come a time when whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right? Now watch the Bible. It shall come to pass. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You see the Bible says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Go to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. Watch what the Bible says. Whosoever, you see, it says it again. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now listen. Now let's look at this. This word call, when you study it, it's not the Greek word kaleo. Kaleo means the idea of an audible call. This word call, it comes from a Greek word eroteo, which literally means to make a request, to make an appeal. What the Bible is telling us, that nobody, there will come a time when an individual can be saved, but he has to make a request for his salvation. Listen to me good. Nobody today can be saved unless they make a request to God for salvation. This is not an audible call. This is not a person saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Because the Bible said in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say do? So what does this mean, eroteo? Well, I'm glad the Bible answers itself. Eroteo, make a request. And also we get the word, epi-eroteo is the word we get answer. It's the word we get answer, which means one who calls, one who has called. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited. That's awesome to me. Let me just stop right there. That's just, every time I read that, I quote that, that's awesome to me. God has a patience that waits. You know God has to be awesome. His patience waits. Which sometime were disobedient, once the long-suffering of God waited. In the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure, wherein to baptism, doeth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism is not a bath, but it is an answer. It is an epieroteo. It is a calling. It is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? That means baptism is how man requests of God our salvation. Are you sure of that? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. Acts 22 and verse 16 again. Listen to what Ananias told Saul. He says, and now, why tarriest thou? He says, arise. Watch this now. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sin. Epieroteo, calling on the name of the Lord. When do we request from God for God to save us? It is only after we've been baptized. If you have not been baptized, you are not requesting from God for God to save you. And therefore, you are still in your sins. I know that's right. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, if this is a mathematical equation, it will look like this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord equals shall be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized equal shall be saved. Shall be saved is the same in both of them. That means if A is equal to B, if C is equal to A, if A is equal to B, and C is equal to B, that means A and C has to be the same. All right, come on. I know we got some teachers in here. I know that's right. Is that right, brother? Now, if you call upon the name of the Lord, if that's equal to shall be saved, and then Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized is equal to shall be saved, that means those two clauses have to be the same. And they are, according to the Bible. Acts 22:16 wraps it up for us. To call upon the name of the Lord does not mean a person audibly saying anything. It is their actions of going in the waters of baptism, because that's how we request from God the salvation that God provides. Which means if you don't request salvation, you will never be saved. God bless you, my friend. That is the plan of God to save us, not man-made. But God's plan is simply this. He sent us a Savior. He sent one Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ. He is A, Alpha and Omega. B, he is the bread of life. C, he is the conquering Christ. D, he is the door to the sheepfold. E, he's everlasting life. F, he's a friend that'll stick with you till the end. G, he's God all by himself. H, he is a heavenly highway. I, he's Emmanuel. J, he is joy that come in the morning. K, King of kings. L, Lord of lords. M, master and mediator. E, and there's nobody like him. O, omnipotent. P, prince of peace. Q, he's quick and powerful. R, he is a righteous redeemer. S, he is a Savior. T, he is the truth. U, umbrella of our protection. B, he's our Visa, not like the one in your pocket or your purse, but he don't charge any interest, but he will drop the charges. W, he's a watchman that watches over us. Yes, he is the way. X, he is the one who excludes our past. Y, he is our yesterday, today, and forever. Z, he is our zeal that keeps us going. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And listen, as you travel, as you go along the way, don't you ever forget Jesus. Is all about him. It doesn't matter what you drive. Make sure what's driving you is Jesus. Now, I said, no matter what. All right, y'all ain't acting right. Y'all ain't all right. Here you go. I'm gonna let y'all go. Y'all ain't right. I gotta give y'all this before I look. I go. A is not your Audi. B not your BMW. C not your Cadillac. D not your Datsun or your Denali. E not your Eclipse. F not your Ford. G not your Geo Metro. H not your Honda or your Hummer. I not your Infiniti. J your Jaguar. K your Kia. L your Lincoln, M, your Mercury, or your Mercedes, N, not your Nissan, O, your Opel, P, your Pontiac, Q, your Quattro, R, Riviera, S, your Saturn T, your Toyota O, TU, your Upland V, your Volvo W, not your Winnebago X, your Xterra Y. It's not your Yukon Z. It's not your Zoom Zoom, honey. It's the Lord that ought to be driving you. The driving force behind you is Him. It's all about Him, and it's not about us. God bless you. God bless. I've enjoyed my time with y'all again. And listen, y'all pray much for me, and I'll be praying. I'll be praying for you all as well. Stay with the book. Stay with God's word. I want to encourage you. Just stay. You know, we never meet again. Stay with the book. Y'all stay with the word. Because one thing I do know, the Bible is right. Man may not be right, but the Bible is right. I appreciate it, Brother and Sister Cabot. Appreciate y'all so very much. Brother Anthony, thank you, sir. Good to see you. These are my good friends. I appreciate them so very, very much. Others had to get on back to Rockford, and I appreciate them coming. But I thank you all for coming as well and for staying behind. I really appreciate that so very, very much. Appreciate the elders here, the faith they have in me, the confidence to allow me to come back and to share my faith with you all again. Appreciate Brother Carter as well. Keep your leadership in prayer. Keep praying for them. And you all appreciate you. You pray for me, too. Pray. I tell you all the time, pray for traveling grace and arriving mercy. I got to tell you, because you can get to your destination like the man did. He went on vacation with the wife, got home, and had a heart attack when they pulled up in the driveway. He had traveling grace, but he needed some arriving mercy. And so I tell folks, when you pray for me, don't pray just for traveling grace. No, I need some arriving mercy when I get to where I need to go. Amen, somebody. But God bless you this afternoon. If you need Jesus, now if you need Jesus, come to Jesus by Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. J here, just Jesus. E is the evidence about Jesus. How he died, was buried, rose again. The S means that you need to stop. Not slow down. You need to stop. That's called repentance. U is the ultimatum. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. But if you deny me, I will deny you. That's the ultimatum. And the last S is submit to submersion. You got to go in the waters of baptism. You make your appeal to God, and God will save you. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're going astray, come back to a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you need prayer, whatever the case might be, come on right now. We got to stand. We'll sing a song. Come to Jesus. Come on.
Number 826.
Go ahead, read. Go ahead.
When the Savior calls, I will answer.